It's time again for the Scotty Johnny podcast with your host, Scotty Johnny himself, John Barnett, and the ego himself, Cheddar Talk, Aaron Flottam, talking Wisconsin sports, NFL through D3, college hockey, doesn't matter. Two mics, two crusty vets, two opinions, one based in reality and one based in what do you bet on Twitter, with music by Delete Great Cars and Trucks. Here's John and Aaron.
Welcome, welcome, one and all. Welcome into the Scotty Johnny podcast. I'm your not-so-humble host, Jonathan Barnett, and with me, as per usual, is Aaron Flottam.
Hi, John. What's going on, man? And so this is, Scotty Johnny podcast, but not as opposed to other ones. I thought I was going to have to come in firing about the Kansas City Chiefs. Okay, all right, let me get my brain strained out here. What happened with Green Bay this weekend?
I don't know, we all watched that one. It was a fantastic game, and for those of us who have lived in Minnesota, it was twice wonderful to live through.
So especially those of us down here on the Illinois border, who I had guard drill this weekend, and they're all from down here. You know, they're Madison people. Like they're part of the contingent that still doesn't recognize the Vikings as a rival, and so losing my mind in front of them, and they're like, "It's just the Vikings." I'm like, no, it's not just the Vikings. I don't care about the Vikings. It's the fans. I'm cheering against the fans right now.
That's the biggest thing is we've said it several times. I don't like the Bears, but their fans are playful for the most part on Twitter, at least the good ones, and knowledgeable. At least when they get something wrong, it's not based on just blind fandom for the most part.
They just play the dumb card. Like I think of the Mitch Trubisky fan, Trubisky number one fan that I follow. Like he just
Happy Mitch.
That's right. Yeah, Mitch. Like he gets it. Like just and it's the same way. You know, like I'll rip on Packer fans. You know, bad Packer fans with him too because it makes sense. You know, but it's like or the Bears will be really bad and then they just go to to the nth degree to pretend that they're still in control, and it's funny to watch, Then it's basically the White Sox contingent of Bears fans. White Sox fans contingent of Bear fans. It's the Cubs fans version contingent of Bears fans that are terrible like Vikings fans. But Vikings fans are, boy, that squawk box was pretty much shut up on Twitter by about halfway through the second quarter.
And again, Vikings fans don't exist. Anyhow, thank you to all of our wonderful fans. Checked out all the stats again today. We've got a lot of people around the country, and we also had friends in Australia and Germany this last week listening to us as well. So,
good day. Guten Tag.
Yeah. Thank you to all of our wonderful fans again for joining us. Remember, when you do, wherever it is you find us, subscribe, download, rate, and review us. Please help everyone else find this podcast. But we're going to kick everything off with what we lovingly call the main event.
Starting things off with the main event.
All right, Aaron. So, of course, the main event starts with the Green Bay Packers this week. This was not the game we predicted. I predicted low scoring Packers win. We both predicted Packers win.
It's my 19-11.
Something like that.
Some improbable number. Although, did you see that the score was a scoregami? This is the first time it had ever been scored in NFL history. I wasn't that far off.
I was just going to say that. It's so wonderful to hear a scoregami. And when it's a Packers score, you're like, oh, yeah. With the amount of, there was a safety involved and there were two double extra point, 2-point conversions, whatever. So, yeah, it was an interesting game to watch. There were some moments early where there was definitely concern. When you saw just getting inside the 10 a couple times and not being able to finish drives. The first two drives got inside the 10 and ended up with 3 total points. I guess 5 if you want to say it, the sack is set up, but the safety is set up by the giving them the ball inside the 1.
Right.
But then we also got inside the 25 again and only got a field goal out of it. 3 drives inside the 25 for 6 points. And you were like, what's going on here? But they turned it on.
Well, it really seems like the safety is to the Packers what the no-hitter is to the Brewers. Like, you never see it. Like, that guy for the Cubs yesterday threw, and they're like, it's the first no-hitter for the Cubs since Jake Arrieta in 2016. I'm just thinking Juan Nieves, 87. Man, it's been a while. Like, that person can vote, has a job. It's halfway to their 401k pension. That person, that no hitter is 33 years old. That no hitter might have kids in high school. But yeah, so like when they're lining up on the half yard line, I'm just thinking to myself, I'm like, God, it'd be nice to have a safety right here. Nah, it's not gonna happen. Never. And then it happened. And I was like, oh, what's the symbol for safety? Is that the one hand over the other thing?
No, two head? Hands together, like a prayer over your head.
Together? Yeah. Yes. Anyways, yeah, it was weird to see. And then you find out later that Jair Alexander blew the coverage and just ran down
misread Kirk Cousins, it.
But
yeah, he said he misread it. The motion, he read run, so he crashed in to get the run support and then found himself just alone by the quarterback. He's like, oh, crap, better finish this.
Better get him down before he throws it to the guy I just left wide open down the left side.
I can't remember how long it's been, but he's the first player with an interception, a sack, and a safety in the same game in some like 20-year period or something like that.
Yeah, he's only the ninth one ever, which is kind of cheating because a safety and a sack is not the same.
Frequently player. The same thing.
Yeah.
Not always.
No, it doesn't have to be, I suppose. If you block a punt out of the end zone, it's a safety.
If you tackle the running back in the end zone.
Oh, great point. Yeah. Never mind.
So, yeah it
great
could, point. It usually is a sack, but it isn't always.
So, I suppose you also get credit for a safety if you get held in the end zone.
I suppose they would actually credit that. I guess I don't remember how many times.
Yeah, you get credited in the safety. I don't know. Someone at Cheddar Talk, I think that's a real rule. I was wrong on an RB regulation earlier that I thought for sure I was right on. And boy, I was embarrassed. That's 21 years shown up by the second-year specialist.
if it's a rule that benefits them, you know they know it.
No, I know. Yeah.
All right, anyway. So a couple big things. I'll tell you what, my favorite stat of the night the entire game was Aaron Rodgers, on average, got the ball out in 2.3 seconds. Peter Bukowski put that up today on Twitter. I shared that. That means he's on time. It means the offense is rolling in a way that it's supposed to roll. It means he doesn't have to second-guess his receivers. He's not holding back throwing to guys. I was very excited after two ridiculous drops by MVS because they were terrible. Bad. And one of them's a touchdown.
Both were potentially touchdowns. One was really a touchdown. The other one was lots of green grass in front of him if he caught it.
The other one was at least a first down on third, and I think it was seven or six. And so it's like giving up possessions essentially at the point and giving up points on the board, and Rodgers went back to him several more times throughout that game, and he caught the rest of them. So, you know, just the idea that Rodgers is having that kind of confidence in these people and that he's doing it even after they've dropped one or two, which, because of course also Devontae dropped that touchdown on fourth down at the end zone. I mean, that ball definitely hit him. It was a decent play by the corner there to get their arm in there, but Devontae's got to have that ball. Of the things you can nitpick about, I guess, this team punted once in that game. I had to hear before the game how much everyone was saying, well, the Vikings, they're clearly the best team in the NFC North. They're the most talented roster. They've got a dominant defense. Dominant. Which is what people say when they're like, fantasy-wise, they've been good for years, and I don't know who's on that defense or if they've lost anybody. I imagine it's the same team. Because they were not a dominant defense.
The only thing I was really, really mad about the Packers on Sunday, yesterday, was that they didn't hang 50 on them. They didn't have enough time to hang 50 on them. If MVS would have scored the one touchdown, if they wouldn't have spent the whole first quarter doing three long drives to get 5 points, they could have gotten 50. They might not have gotten a scoregami, which is actually the most important thing. Should we explain what a scoregami is?
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, you can follow the Twitter account. Just look up Scoregami, like origami, but with S-C-O-R in front of that. It means a unique score that has never occurred in the history of professional football. So the score of the Packers-Vikings game this week has never occurred. 43-34 is a score that has never happened before.
101 years in the league. And that's the other thing. There's actually a scoregami in baseball the other night, too, which is even harder. That was the game that ended when the Braves hit 13 home runs or whatever. It was 27-13 or something like that. Like, or 27-9. It was 23-9 or something like that. It was like, it looked like a Falcons Miami Dolphins game. But anyways, so baseball's been played forever in 162 games a year. But yeah, so.
And nobody scores that many runs usually. Like, this one's weird because of the fashion in which you can score certain numbers of points are sometimes odd. So If you scored 10 runs in baseball, you score them roughly the same way anyone else scores 10 runs, it seems. So it's like, yeah, doesn't much matter. Right. You can score 9 or 10 or 11.
Right, and in football, basically anything under 20, probably anything under 20 points has been scored, you know.
Yeah.
And in some fashion or another, that's why that one I threw out that odd score, 18 to 11 for a score last week. It probably wouldn't have been a score gone. I'm sure there's been an 18 to 11 game somehow, somewhere in the 101 years. Anyways, so I was really mad that they didn't hang 50 on the Vikings defense just for the heck of it. Like, that would have been great. This vaunted Vikings defense. Who needs Everson Griffin? We don't need Everson Griffin. Let him go. We don't need those cornerbacks. Let him go. We'll be fine. Mike Zimmer.
Xavier Rhodes is starting. Linval Joseph is starting elsewhere. Like, Rhodes is starting, where'd we say? Indianapolis. Linval Joseph is starting in San Diego, who their defense looked pretty good yesterday. Nothing else did, though, which is kind of sad because I like Tyrod Taylor. Right. Both their cornerbacks are over in Cincinnati getting a good amount of playing time, too. I saw Mackenzie Alexander making some good plays out there. Yeah.
Still losing close games.
But I mean, like, it's just the weird thing where people were like, I get the Vikings fans wanting to believe this. They're like, you know, Xavier Rhodes just wasn't any good last year anyhow. But, you know, cover me close, little tiny Danzler, as Paul Allen was calling him all day today, was not covering anyone close. No. So he just can't. He is not equipped at this point in any career. He's just not capable of staying with Davante Adams. And MVS was just running.
Just compare one team to the other. You know, we returned with a mostly intact defensive backfield, completely intact defensive backfield, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they returned with
like Tremont, but he's not a starter on this team.
Attrition by age. You know, everyone knew that was pretty much. Hey, so you don't count on it, right? So our starters.
We replaced him with a guy we already had on the roster.
The Vikings returned Hunter Smith. A couple cornerbacks. No cornerbacks.
No start. None. All the way down to their nickel. That's gone.
What's his name? The one middle linebacker, Kendricks, who actually played yesterday because he's a very good middle linebacker.
He's great, yeah.
Yeah, he's very good. There's no doubt about that. He is an excellent middle linebacker. And then the defensive line, you know, you're talking about Rodgers getting the ball out in 2.8 seconds. There's a couple of clips where he hung out in the backfield for up to 8 seconds, including one where Bob Tanyan, Bob on one side and Bakhtiar on the other, locking up the defensive ends for 8 seconds. Tanyan locking up a defensive end for eight seconds.
Yeah, and that was without the one help. where Bakhtiari is one-on-one with Ngakoue, and Ngakoue couldn't get anywhere on him. He got into Bakhtiari's chest, and I saw a very good video on the technique on this. And he got into him, but Bakhtiari was so good in his base that he just kind of sat back into it and was able to absorb it enough that he couldn't get anywhere. And then, you know, they're all hand-fighting in very close. Like, their arms are in tight, so, I mean, like, you're never going to call a hold because they're just both in on each other.
No, and they're up underneath the shoulder pads, whatever, and they're holding on to that. That's the one part where you can hold on to. It's once you get outside the chest, and everyone's like, of course, the Vikings fans' excuse machine, beep, bop, boop, bop, beep, bop, beep. You know, oh, well, Bakhtiari is the biggest holder in the NFL. No, well, if he was, they would have started calling him years ago for it. That's
back
what happened.
He was new or something, but yeah.
Right. No, if he gets his hands inside and he gets his hands on your shoulder pads at the chest, you're done. That's how it works. Yeah. Offensive linemen have everything against them. That's the only tool they have for them.
Yeah.
Defensive linemen can rip them, pull them, tog them, tear them. That's the only thing they can do is get inside and lock them up. And Bakhtiari did that very well yesterday.
Yeah.
And that defensive line, that scary defensive line that they had just 2 years ago with Ev Griffin, Linval Joseph, Daniil Hunter Young, and what's his name? Not Jake Allen, Robinson on the other Robinson.
He was.
They were good. That was a scary line. It's nothing. They've got nothing, man.
They had, you know, knock on wood, no sacks last night, and no picks, knock on wood. And meanwhile, I mean, just that Vikings defense is not elite. I'm not afraid of this team, I guess, going forward. The Vikings have a pretty good offense, but they have one receiver and a running back. I'm very surprised they didn't get Irv Smith Jr. more involved in that game, because he's better than Rudolph. But they couldn't get him into anything. They threw to a couple to Thielen. He had a couple touchdowns, but also one of the picks was throwing at Thielen where Jair Alexander picked him off. And he didn't look great. There was a point in like the third quarter where Cousins had thrown for a total of four first downs came through the pass, and three first downs were Cousins running. He was just as good to them running the ball as he was anything else, because the Packers weren't worried about him running, so he could get 10 yards if he really needed it.
There's no one spying up on him. Once he got past Preston Smith, he was gone.
Yeah, so it was interesting to see that. But that's the big thing, is like the Viking team is living in the cap hell they've built for themselves. And this is, again, why I don't think that he's a very good GM over there. I think he built a good team for a 3-year run.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, they have to live with it now because everybody's on long-term contracts, and they're going to lock up Delvin Cook here too to make their fans happy. Yeah.
They just did. He got
they did?
He got an extension right a day or two before the game, so he has a 5-year extension, which will average $12.5 million a year.
How did I miss that? Well, I didn't. Fairness and what happened in my life act. I had drill this weekend, so I watched the game on my phone at my desk. So I didn't have any audio, and I didn't catch anything between plays. I was listening to Wayne and Larry in the background and looking down at the phone whenever it got loud. So I didn't catch a lot of the nuanced stuff. I know Kamara got paid, which the Saints are entering into cap hell very fast.
Look at SpotTrack, I checked it out to see the Vikings. The Vikings right now will be about $14 million over the cap next year with the contracts currently on their roster. They're going to have to cut people now.
Honey, everyone's expecting the cap to go down next year because of the lack of money, the revenue this year. They're expecting, because every year the cap goes up. No, the cap's going to go down. The Vikings rely on the cap going up to some amount.
We'll see. They're, the one thing, like they said, some of the ratings were down this first weekend, but the digital viewing is way up. So the total number of people viewing is actually probably close or maybe a little higher. It's hard to tell yet. It's going to be the digital dollars that they're going to be having to track more now, which don't.
I was that guy. I didn't see any of it, and I don't know. Hey, so two things. Mm-hmm. All right, let's remember where we're at. Let's get me back out of this rabbit hole here in a second. I said Kamara, and I think it was the Saints Falcons game. Say Saints Buccaneers game. God, Brady looked bad. Anyways, so near the end of the game, Kamara had a play where he went for a touchdown or a first down, one of the two, and the play was reversed. And there's 20 seconds left in the game. It was completely nondescript time. And whoever's running the PA system at the Mercedes Superdome there started playing a boo track, like how that would happen after they reverse a call, which they're not supposed to do that because they're not supposed to influence how a game goes. But by that point, the Saints had it was pretty good. I liked it. If you're going to get fined, do it in style and do it a very non-important part of the game. Other point, so I didn't get to see a lot of the game, as I said, on a big TV. So yesterday I thought, okay, cool, I'll catch the highlights during the half times of the West Coast game or before Sunday Night Football or during halftime of Sunday Night Football or on SportsCenter afterwards. The Packers weren't on hardly at all for highlights. Did you notice that? They weren't on SportsCenter. They didn't put any of the Packers highlights on SportsCenter, even on Scott Van Pelt's SportsCenter.
Yeah, I mean, especially weird because, I mean, maybe because it kills the narrative. I mean, they're like, well, Rodgers isn't that good anymore. I've got him in a couple fantasy leagues, mostly because everybody's got him as like, well, he's going to be like the 15th best quarterback. No. He's got second year in the system. Everybody's more comfortable the second year, it looks like. MVS is running cleaner routes. He's doing better. He's just got to catch the ball more consistently. Devontae's still there. That EQ was actually inactive on this game, which is interesting to me. But They definitely have an interesting way of trying to get the ball to a bunch of people and get the ball out of Aaron's hands quickly into playmakers' hands. I feel very good about where they're set on this team, but yeah, it does not fit the narrative. Also, no. I guess other than saying that Rodgers was completely dominant with 364 yards passing, and on top of that, you've got Adams with 14 catches for 153 yards, I think.
Two touchdowns, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, other than that, you've got a bunch of people where you're like, I don't know who we're talking about other than that. I was like, yeah, you're going to show those two Devontae catches, and then that's all you care about. And then,
right, no, I mean, the first 10 minutes of every SportsCenter and everything was the Brady Breeze Bowl, and it was just – and I think everyone expected it to be great, and it wasn't. It was anything but that. Michael Thomas came out and laid a giant egg. That's right. I coin flipped in one league who to take first, Michael Thomas or Devontae Adams, and I took Michael Thomas because I figured that the Packers were going to be a little bit more run-heavy this year. Oh, by the way, so we're back up out of this rabbit hole. So now I'm going to bring in
the Vikings defense
voice opinion. I'm going to go down another one. So as we always say, I listen to KFan a lot, and you did too. I know you did. It's the Schadenfreude of everything. Oh, we got to listen to the Vikings station.
Monday morning montage when the Vikings lose the Packers is the greatest thing ever. They played rainy days and Mondays always bring me down.
The Carpenters
today. Yeah. Played that today. It's so good.
It's so good, and they're so self-deprecating too, especially when it's a game when the Packers just beat the Vikings. It's not even so much Schadenfreude, it's because they're funny and so self-deprecating. But Paul Allen, who is the voice of the Vikings and has been for 18 years, is very good. He's their number one he's not like Wayne Larrabee. He's a cheerleader.
Yeah.
And he's a mouthpiece. He really is. But he doesn't shy away from it in any way, shape, or form. Every year he predicts the Vikings are going to be 16-0 and give me whoever and we'll play
the Falcons.
I don't
see when they lose.
I don't see a single loss on the schedule. Just, yeah, it's 16-0 and whoever it is and we'll play and we'll see the Falcons in the NFC Championship game. But he's smart. He knows what he's talking about. He knows his football. His fandom clouds his judgment. But they did bring up some good points, and that was LaFleur was very smart yesterday. There was using Irvin and Lazard on those end arounds because you got these rookie cornerbacks that rather than be able to just drop back at a 10-yard coverage, you know, and not get smoked on every play, you run an end arounds. Now they have to come up and tackle, you know. And so, like, they were using the edge of the fields very well. I mean, it was a bad day for the Vikings. They didn't have a shot. And then, like Paul Allen said, it was that big cavernous stadium, U.S. Bank Stadium, a.k.a. the world's largest REI. Thank you.
Yeah.
Whoever gave me that one, because it looks like an REI.
It does.
Said it felt like a practice. And never would Aaron Rodgers be able to draw the Vikings defense offsides with snap counts in U.S. Bank Stadium. But it was like a glorified practice, and he said you could just watch Aaron Rodgers just work that defense. Like, he had them on their heels. They didn't know where to go. Every time they'd move, he'd have something countered for it within a half second. And he's like, that's what happens when HOF goes up against a team that's not ready to go in their own home stadium.
Yeah, and they were not ready. And the other thing, too, though, is like, I don't think that they have the talent to match up at this point. Like, they don't have a guy who can cover MVS. And he's your third option on this team. Lazard and Adams are just open for most of the game. Yeah. Ball is coming out on time, on target. You know, just like
the touchdown to MVS, if you look, like when they slow it down, Lazard was open on the left side, too, by even more.
Yeah, Paul Allen said something about like, well, you know, and that was just a great throw because he was kind of there with him. You watch that replay. MVS has got him by like 3 or 4 yards, but the ball's slightly underthrown and he just kind of slows up and allows him to catch up to him. If he puts that right on the dime, you know, then it's just like, well, he wouldn't have been anywhere near him. He had him burned.
But to your point, though, Lazard on the opposite side of the field had... He was running a flag more than a post, you know. None of them are straight, you know. It's curled out a little bit more out. So it would have been a left shoulder throw, which, I mean, obviously Rodgers is a right-handed quarterback, so it's easier for the right, you know, throw it to the right. But I mean, both of them were open and had their guys beat. Tanyan was running wild under. I mean, there was three open people on that play. Tanyan had by the time he let go of it. Now, obviously, once he lets go, the DBs go for the tackle, but Tanyan was already open in the middle too. Like it was, there was three open people for a first down, and yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Pardon. And the other thing too is, so just like to speak to their dearth of talent, like, and that's the other thing you can pick up now. And this has happened in a lot of games, especially in the indoor stadiums. Harrison Smith was just screaming the whole game. Because Harrison Smith is a very good.
He's great. Yeah.
He's a great safety. Has been since college. You know, we'll acknowledge players when they're good.
Yeah.
It's just like yelling at the veteran players. Like they said that, like, just everything was not going well. And it was because Aaron Rodgers was picking them apart. And I've been picked on by people. It's not easy. Once you're rolling, once you're getting rolled, it's hard to come out of it. You know?
Well, yeah. And that's the other thing. One of the other big things I want to talk about with that defense is we've talked about this before. Zimmer coaches guys to be dirty. He just does. And there was a very late hit of Aaron Rodgers in that game, a ridiculously late hit. Like, he throws the ball. The guy then gets off the block, takes two more steps, and then just shoves him right in the chest right over somebody else. And you're like, what? How does that allow to happen? And no flag, nothing. So anybody who ever wants to try this, like, well, the Vikings would win more if they got flags like the Packers did. You're like, you just smoked our quarterback to no flag. I mean, and you know, it's like, what are you talking about? The idea that they just did that. And I put it on Twitter today. This happens all the time with Zimmer coach defenses. All the time. Cincinnati or Minnesota, it doesn't much matter. The guys on his team somehow happened to be dirty, happened to hit late, happened to play the injury.
He made Montez Perfect.
Yeah, Montez Perfect is entirely his creation. I mean, like
Montez Perfect is the epitome of what Mike Zimmer wants every single player to be.
Yeah. When it happens this frequently, it's not a mistake. You are either coaching it intentionally or you are allowing it by just completely having no care whatsoever for the concern of health of other players or playing within the rules of football. It is part of the system and not a bug of the system. It is something he's intentionally doing with his players. And that's the one thing I don't like about the Vikings is I don't like Zimmer because he's a jerk and a bully and he plays to hurt people. And that's not what should be going on in this league. Transitioning into people who were hurt this week, because Aaron seems to be fine, knock on wood.
Yeah.
Kenny Clark had to come out very early, didn't play in the second half, actually had the fewest snaps of any of the defensive linemen in this game. Mm-hmm. He only played 15 snaps. Dean Lowry had 39.
Not good for us with Kenny Clark out, but that does show, I mean, not saying much about the Vikings. We didn't even get into the Vikings offensive line, but the rest of the D-line seemed to do pretty well on their own. So.
Yeah, Lancaster got a bunch of time coming in there for run support stuff. The Vikings still tried to find ways to run and were not horribly effective at it. Aaron Jones led the entire team in rushing. Dalvin Cook ended up with 12 more yards rushing than Tyler Irvin. 12 more yards than Tyler Irvin. That's not a victory for, you know, type of plan. That's not how you plan to go ahead to get a win on your running game, but he had the two touchdowns, so
glad he got paid. I wish they would have paid him. I wish they would have paid him more.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I wish they'd have given him the $15 million that they're giving to Kamara. In terms of the inside linebackers, we talked about how Oren Burks had appeared to be the next guy on the next in the center there with the inside linebackers. He's listed on the play chart and on the depth chart, pardon me, as the second linebacker there. But Chris Barnes actually got the start and had 15 snaps. The Packers, of course, play a lot of single inside linebacker routes because Kirksey had 52 snaps, 18 total snaps by other inside linebackers. So, but Chris Barnes got the start at the other linebacker, which what I found out is the first undrafted rookie free agent to start in week one of their rookie year for the Packers ever.
Wow.
So I was like, wow, that's interesting.
Kirksey was all over the place. And yeah, if we can keep that dude healthy, yeah.
Yeah, he played very well. I was very happy with him out there. There were a couple little mental errors. There are a couple things here or there. Kevin King led all the cornerbacks in snaps, and he had one bad missed tackle that led to a first down. It would have been a drive ender, but it turned into like a
he's good for one of those every game anyway. So I mean, it's one of those things you just got to lead, you got to learn to live with. So
yeah, one or two, but I mean, he played very well the rest of the game. King and Jair both had five tackles. Of course, Jair's game though highlighted by the pick and the and the safety that we talked about earlier. So yeah, but yeah,
I liken Kirksey almost. I mean, they're two different players entirely. Don't get caught up in the hyperbole here. But watching Alden Smith play for the Cowboys yesterday too, I think of that like Kirksey. Like they both played well. They're both rusty, like especially Alden Smith. He's horribly rusty, like 5 years rusty. But like Kirksey's pretty rusty too. He's played 8 games in 3 years. So if that's the output that he's going to have with a minimal offseason, it's only going to get better. So I'll take it.
Yeah. Packers also still dealing with a lot of the injuries they had across that offensive line. And it definitely got far worse down the road as they kept going on. Lane Taylor injured, had a knee injury. Word today, that injury will be a season-ending injury. He is now out for the year. So that's going to massively affect this team going forward. He had a great camp, as we talked about earlier, looking very good. Season-ending knee. He will have surgery, I believe, this week. Lucas Patrick.
He's a starter on 30 teams in the NFL. Yeah. He is. He's a starting guard. He's not the, like we were talking about last week. I'm just a, I'm
and,
already
and 60% of Twitter was trying to fire him this year.
Right. So the Vikings have five linemen who wouldn't start on any other team. Most likely Lane Taylor would start on all teams. Like he is a starting offensive lineman.
I'd say 20. I mean, I'd have to go through who I'd pick over him, but he starts on most teams. Most teams across this league. He's a solid, legitimate NFL player.
Hard to replace.
Yeah, and they're going to be looking for ways to do that. Lucas Patrick, who had to play this week at guard because they moved Elgton Jenkins out to right tackle.
No, don't. Stop the cutesy stuff.
Well,
let him play where he's good.
And he played very well.
Of course.
Out at the right tackle. He's great, but they're going to keep him inside for the future. But the thing is, when Patrick went down as well, we lost both our guards. Elgton Jenkins had to go back to playing guard, and they brought in Ricky Wagner. So Ricky Wagner got 46 snaps. John Runyon had to play 15 snaps at guard. And here's the thing I'll say, and I heard someone else say this too. It's absolutely true. When John Runyon was in the game, I didn't hear a word about it. And that's the best thing you can say. I didn't hear a word.
Because it wasn't until after the game that I heard that Runyon was in the game. And that's
Well, I saw him warming up, obviously, with the injury. But yeah, he was.
Again, small TV, couldn't see it. So, I was like, no, it wasn't until I heard, I think, Larry talking about it after the game.
Yep.
Or in the tunnel or something like that about how Runyon was. I was like, oh, Runyon made it in the game. Well, this is good that I didn't hear about it.
Yeah, that would have bugged you. Lucas Patrick, though, had an MRI today. It was a shoulder injury. It appears it's not so bad, and he is probable for next week, they're saying. The official probables, questionables don't come out till later in the week, but they're expecting he'll be listed as probable for the week and will likely play against the Lions in the week ahead. Looking ahead, though, then, now that we're through the injuries and we're through all the game here and bashing on the Vikings, and by the way, I'm going to get this point in verse. KFan was remarkably restrained today in terms of giving they could have given so many different types of excuses here and there and tried to say, like, well, it was a 9-point game, a couple of things. Like, no, it was not really a 9-point game. You scored 18 points in the fourth quarter in garbage time when the game was done. The game was done, and you got a couple big plays in garbage time to make it a closer-looking game. They were not in that game after the Packers took the lead. It was over. It was just over.
It's funny. The Vikings official Twitter handle had something about Thielen scores a second touchdown, blah, blah, blah. And the first response was from a Vikings fan. It was just shut up. Nice. Shut up. No, I was going to say, number one, your Brewers are tied up 2-2 in the top of the seventh, by the way.
We'll get there.
Look at that. So just piling on the Vikings too, the team that had 13 draft picks this year, was it, John?
I don't remember exactly the number, but yeah, they played to get draft picks.
And 11 to 12 of them will be in the Hall of Fame at the end of their career, we've heard. So there's a couple of people that were talking, of course, because you knew the draft would come up about halfway through the third quarter, when the Packers were starting to just kind of womp the snot out of them. Leroy Butler was one of them y'all were complaining when the Packers were using their draft picks on linemen during the draft. And it was just very something like that, you know, but it's Leroy, and like, you listen to Leroy, you know, the other one was, I think it was Nagler said something about, how about those draft grades now, Vikings fans, you know, cause it was like, cause you've run down all the Vikings players that are rookies, and like Ezra Cleveland didn't even make the field.
He wasn't even active for the game.
Oh, he wasn't even active.
Yeah, that was especially weird. We're like, wait a minute, what?
Jermaine Jackson out of LSU had, what, one catch on three targets
Justin Jefferson, yeah, had two catches, I think.
Yeah, so, I mean.
It was the thing that, I guess, I'll say this in terms of talking about the draft now after, of course, 1 week and overreacting.
Yes, absolutely. But that's what we're going to do. We have
nothing else to talk about other than
all offseason. Anyway,
yeah, if we don't overreact, there's nothing else to do. Here's where the genius might lie in this draft. The guys the Packers drafted are at positions where they could actually step in and have a difference on a team this year. Cornerbacks are notoriously not going to be great in the first year. Wide receivers normally take a little bit of time. The Packers went with linemen. They went with a blocking tight end H-back guy. They went with a running back. And then they also got their quarterback of the future. They said, we're not having the offseason we want to have with these guys. What are a bunch of guys we can bring in and they can get it done with a shortened, maybe no preseason, maybe short preseason, maybe, you know, just training camp. Who knows? They're like, we don't know what's going on. And they drafted... And I don't know necessarily. I mean, this is trying to get inside the mind of Gutekunst, who's not going to tell you what he's doing.
Right.
But it feels like drafting specifically to say, we've got guys we know can make a difference in a year where making a difference is going to be much harder. We want guys at these sorts of positions where we said, I mean, DeGuara made an impact on this game.
Yeah, he did. He took out two people on the Lazard run. That was very Waterboy block. That was awesome.
I would say almost the one thing I thought was almost kind of funny, and I don't think it's true, but the rumor mill should definitely start with something like, hey, oddly, the Packers made sure that every single running back on their roster got a carry, several carries. All of them got more than one carry. Are they talking to Aaron Jones? Which I don't think is true, because I don't think the GM is telling the head coach how to call any plays, so I don't think it has anything to do with anything. But no. That would be a fun conspiracy theory.
And the thing is too, so I didn't hear anything. Was Sternberg in the game at all?
Yes, he was in a couple times. I saw him. There was an overthrow for sure, where he did beat coverage down the field, and a ball kind of sailed out of bounds a little bit when there was a little bit of pressure at Rodgers coming towards his feet.
Right. Well, I did notice. I noticed that I saw a lot of, not a lot of, but I saw enough of Segura on. Why am I saying his name wrong? Josiah.
DeGuara.
DeGuara. I'm like, not the shortstop that used to play for the Brewers. Anyways,
I'm just here to fix the names for you, Aaron. All day.
Thank you. DeGuara was hot snot on that, at least that one jet play, you know, that I got to see. I saw Tanyan on the field quite a bit too. Was that just me looking down at the right time, or was Tanyan actually on the field a lot? Seemed like he was blocking mostly. I don't know if he even had a catch.
No, Robert Tanyan had 48 snaps. Mercedes Lewis had 32.
That's right. Mercedes Lewis is still on the team.
Yeah.
That dude can block.
Well, him and DeGuara are out there to block for the most part. Tanyan can block, but also has the athleticism to catch, but he's really taken to blocking.
I'm just glad I didn't reach up for Jay Sternberg in the fantasy draft. He'll be okay, but he's not going to.
He only played 12 snaps in the game. So, I mean, like, he didn't have a big impact. I don't know. It might have also
Hockenson. Hockenson's for real though. Holy smokes.
Yeah. Anyways, wait till year two to draft your tight ends.
Right. Anyhow. So back to what we were saying though. So, and then Corey Dillon, man, he only got what, 2-3 carries tops.
I don't remember how many total carries he had. He was in on 5 snaps.
In on 5 snaps, 2 or 3 carries, and all three of his carries were to the left side, which was his preferred side at Boston College, and both of them were for over 5 yards, and he is fast, and he is big. Yeah. So, but once he's in pads, even though he's got those monstrosity of thighs, him, Aaron Jones, and Jamal Williams, if they all were to switch jerseys, except for the dreadlocks, you wouldn't know. No, you wouldn't. Possibly. I mean, well, you wouldn't know who Dillon was. If you were to put fake dreadlocks on Dillon, you wouldn't know the difference between all three of them. They all look the same.
Among all three of them. But yeah, I don't know. I think Dillon looks a little bigger.
Did I say amongst?
No, I'm just I'm picky that way. I'm a grammar Nazi. You can't be between three things. You can be among three things. Jesus. I'll correct your names. I'll correct your grammar. I'll do what I got to do. I'm going to make this work.
I'm intentionally saying names wrong, so then I want to go back and see how many I got wrong. I know I called Justin Jefferson Jermaine Jackson earlier. That was pretty good.
That was amazing, actually, yeah. Because that was your draft crush, too. So we were...
Yes.
How you got that, I don't know. But anyhow.
Yeah, it's amazing how we all...
We're gonna look ahead to the Lions this week. Lions had the soul-crushing loss to the Bears this week.
Lions got Lions, man.
Lions are going to Lion.
Packers Lions and Bengals both doing what they do best.
Packers, if you're betting, you're laying 6 points for the Packers this week in a weird, empty Lambeau field. I just think the Packers are better at every facet of the game than the Lions. They do have an interesting running back field now with apparently... Adrian Peterson's going to be the guy they're going to give the ball to most.
Yeah, again, 98 yards yesterday.
Yeah, this is crazy.
Crazy.
Of course.
Not that Kerryon Johnson's a bad running back. Kerryon Johnson's a good running back. And then Swift on top of it. Like
Swift, who then is the one who broke everybody's heart because he's the guy who dropped the ball in the end zone for no reason, just no reason, on what would have been a game-winning pass. Had to be a game-winning pass because before that, the Lions were winning and then let the Bears back into it with Midland Mitch Trubisky.
MVP Mitch Trubisky. Oh, my God. Just listening to the Bears fans. I figured by 12:15, he'd be pulled and Nick Foles would be in the game.
No. He didn't look good for the first half. I mean, actually, for the first three quarters, he did not look good. And by the end of the game, he looked average. I mean, that's really all you can say. The Lions' defense is not particularly good. They got worse over the offseason. They did a little Viking-type thing where they traded away the one good player in their defensive backfield and then drafted a guy to say, like, well, if we're lucky, he'll become Darius Slay. You're like, okay.
The Slaymaker. The Slaymaker had the Packers number, too. That's
when you trade away a guy and you get a pick for him, and then you with that pick, you draft his replacement. You're saying, wow, I hope we can pick a guy who will be as good as the guy we traded. But he won't be this year. And the Packers are going to attack them.
The thing is, it's like when you're Detroit, too. Like, the one hurdle you have to overcome is win the division. And by doing that, you're going to have to beat the Packers. Who's the one player in the division that the Packers don't like playing against? And he's in the argument. Darius Slay was always messing things up for the Packers. He was a really good defensive back, and they got rid of him. And it's like,
well, he hated it there. He made them get rid of him. Yeah, he was very vocal about it.
Would you like playing for Matty Patty?
No, that's the other thing too. Is I don't think he's a good coach. I think they're going to ride him out on a rail after this season. I think he thinks he's Belichick, but the thing is, Belichick gets away with it because first off, there's a secondary thing they don't ever get right. Like he's tough.
Rails. It looks like he put on a COVID 40. You lost me for that joke. Are you kidding me?
I did lose you. But anyhow.
Go back to the part about riding out on a rail, because you said he's going to get ridden out on a rail, and I said it's going to have to be 2 or 3 because it looks like you put on a COVID 40. You looked like the blue Kool-Aid man this year.
All right. I think at this point, geez.
He's big and blue. Can we call him Matty Glacier? I'm sorry.
I'm about
20 pounds overweight. I can do this.
Here's the thing that gets me with him, though, is like I think he wants to be, like, he it's like he didn't really pay attention to what Bill Belichick does. Bill Belichick is a guy who behind the scenes is beloved by his players for the most part, it seems. Like, they always talk highly about him even when they leave. And they may be angry at the organization for gutting him, but they're never mad at him particularly. He's a guy who goes out and does things and, you know, starts players and gets people the ball and finds ways to win. And then, like, but all that Maddie caught on to was he's tough and he looks mean at people and he does mean things. And you're like, and so he just goes out there and he's like, we're going to do stupid crap all day. And you're like, why are you just messing with people for the sake of messing with people? And that seems to be his bit. And he's not a particularly great offensive mind or defensive mind or whatever kind of mind he's got. It's not a football one. I think it's a Twinkie one.
Yes, Bill Belichick with no offseason with Cam Newton won yesterday, by the way. So they're 1-0. And
you had to have bet on that, right?
They're going to be 14-2, and they're going to be in the Super Bowl. You just watch. It's like you don't bet against Belichick.
I wouldn't know.
Anyways, another point about Matty Patty that I want to bring up. Why does he keep a pencil behind his ear, but he carries a marker board around with him on the field?
He's super smart. Big brain, this guy.
Right. But he's got a pencil and he has a marker board. Do you write on the marker board with a pencil?
I don't know. I can't explain anything about him. He's the weirdest cat.
Speaking of trolls, the greatest troll in the NFL right now is that Aaron Rodgers continues to drink Purple Crush or some sort of purple beverage on the sideline after beating the Vikings, dating back to, I think it was early 2010s, when he drank a literal grape crush in a post game. And you can see him look down and make sure that the crush is out and then turn sideways and drink it so you can see Purple Crush clear as day. And he, to this day, denies. And he says, it's the stupidest thing ever. People are looking way too much into this. Every time he beats the Vikings, he's drinking something purple on the sidelines. And he denies it. And he's like, you guys are idiots. It's the best troll in football.
I hope he has blue Gatorade next week. Just anything.
No, it's just the Purple Crush. Just Purple Crush in Minnesota, man. It's the best. But yes.
Yeah. I really think the Packers are going to win. I think they're going to cover. At this point, I'd say it's going to be something like 35-17. I don't believe in these Lions. I don't think that defense is any good particularly. And They've got a decent offense. They'll find some ways to score some points. It might be something closer to like 34 or 35 to like 24, but I don't think they can keep pace. And the Packers defense is good enough to keep them from being a shootout sort of game. I think they'll stay with them just enough to make sure the Packers can keep the, you know, all gas no brake kind of thing going. I don't know. What are you thinking, Aaron, on this week?
The Packers are going to win 26-19. I don't think
we need to look up the lowest scoregami available. I think
I didn't even look that up. I hope it is.
That would be amazing.
I don't know. I'd like to think that the Packers are just going to roll the Detroit Lions as usual, because I became used to that over the course of two decades. But it hasn't been as it's been pretty much a split from here on out. Oh, yeah. Speaking of heartbreaking fashion, while you're talking about that, when you rarely get to talk during this podcast between my rants, I was thinking, I still remember when Rodgers threw the Rodgers to Rodgers Hail Mary at the end of that Detroit game. The Packers never actually led the game with time on the clock, because it was a extended play because of penalty because of the face mask. So it was zeros on the board when he threw the Hail Mary. Detroit actually led the entire game but lost. They led all 60 minutes of that game but lost. So yes, them losing like that yesterday, it's what Detroit does. They lose in heartbreaking fashion that just keeps their city in absolute poverty, just soul-crushing poverty, because they have no leadership to lead their city out of it. I blame them for Detroit. Jeez. Not the car industry. The Lions. I was thinking of that while you're.
I'm just trying to look at the scoregamis here. There's a 4-4 is available.
Oh yeah, no, I suppose that would.
Let's look at one in mid 20s here. Like 27-8 is available.
Wow, that one seems like it'd be logical.
29-12 is available. 32-12 and 32-15. There we go. I'm picking 32-15 Packers.
15. All right.
I'm going to write that down.
Wow, 27-8. I guess why would you be scoring 8 points? Unless it was the most likely way you're going to score 8 points is 2 field goals and a safety, because you don't go for 2 when you're either scoring late in the game or early in the game. So,
yeah, It looks like only once has a team scored 4. Mm. That's interesting. Anyhow. We'll move on then from that. We both got the Packers beating the Lions this next week. It should be one that they should take care of, knock on wood.
This one's one at Detroit, though, right?
No, at home.
Okay. Oh, the big one that I'm looking for. So not to get too far ahead of ourselves. I hope they still have it silent when we go to play the Saints in 2 weeks. Because if it can be silent like it was against the Vikings, that's going to be a huge advantage for Aaron Rodgers yet again.
Yes. Absolutely.
As many empty stadiums as we can get Aaron Rodgers in front of. Oof. Let's wrap this back to the beginning of the main event. Man, just if he can get empty stadiums to play in front of, he's going to just tear people apart. Because he tears apart in loud stadiums.
Yeah. That's going to be way better if there's nobody there.
All right, let's talk about the depressing Brewers and Bucks or something.
There's nothing more to talk about with the Bucks. We did the Requiem for the season last week. Brewers had a not so fantastic week in terms of what we were hoping for. They did get a split with Detroit, which I guess we were thinking was probably the best of the possible scenarios when we were looking at last week. In Detroit, nobody picked 19-0 on Roberto Clemente Day, September 9th. After a day off, they had the 3 games against the Cubs last week, then won the first one. So there was a period of time here. The Brewers got through the 8th inning against the Cubs on Saturday in a 2-0 shutout at that time, bringing in Hader. At that point, they had been through 27 straight scoreless innings. Mm. And then Hader gave up 4. I think those are his first runs he surrendered all season. He saved them all up just to drop them on your heart right there where the Brewers could have had 5 straight wins against the Cubs and a 3-game winning streak. And you're like, oh, come on.
And 2 shutouts 2 nights in a row and 28 scoreless innings.
Yeah.
Who's the Dodgers reliever?
I forget offhand. Is it my
big guy, Kendry?
I don't remember offhand. I know who you're talking about. I can't think of his name.
There must have been something with the moon on Saturday because both him and Hader got rocked in the 9th inning. He gave up, the Dodgers reliever gave up 6 runs. In the ninth inning.
Anyhow, then the Brewers followed up that, 8 great innings followed by a terrible 9th by not bothering to play any of the next 9 innings and getting no hit in a 12-0 shutout, no hitter. Of course, a shutout, but yeah.
More voluntary social activism by the Brewers just didn't show up to play.
Yeah, so that, just... The up and down with this team drives me crazy. Just the way that there's just like, they'll have a 19-0 game against the Tigers on the road. And they'll come have the Cubs at home where they were doing very well against the Cubs and then just lay this amazing egg. 10 just god-awful innings. It's 16-0 over 10 innings of baseball where they didn't basically have a hit for 10 innings and gave up 16 runs.
Right.
It was ridiculously bad. I can't figure this team out, and I'm not going to feel terrible when the season ends. There's just so many things went wrong. Every bit of the free agency draft or free agency picks did not work out right now. They've had Lokane have to leave early in the season. They've had all the other just weird things here and there and just could not get anything going. The pitching has still been wonderful this year. The Brewers tonight are in part of their 5 games in 3 days string against the Cardinals this week. But they won game 1 of that doubleheader. So that's at least we're back on the upswing in our just graph of, manic depressive sort of behavior from the Brewers. Had a walk-off. They had a 1-0 lead, turned it into a 1-1 tie, and then Keston Hira gets the walk-off. I guess it was a line drive out sacrifice. And because it was a line drive, the outfielder's running backwards, so he definitely could not have turned around and thrown it. Didn't even bother throwing it. Right. Avisail Garcia was the winning run in that one. Game is still going on. won't end until after we're done with our podcast here, but it is a 2-2 game in the bottom of the seventh. Brewers have one out, runners on first and second. And Jace Peterson, who we all had on our fantasy teams at the beginning of this year. I guess he just got out. So, but Ben Gamel up in a tie game is exactly what you want. Unless you're playing the Cubs, then you want Braun up.
This is what I was talking about with these 7-inning games, though. So what happens if that Saturday night game against the Cubs would have been a 7th-inning game, We would have walked off with a shutout. That's why I said, you know, it's rough on the Cardinals that they have to play all these games, but there's so much that can happen in the last two innings, especially if a low-scoring affair, that it's kind of mind-boggling that we're going forward with this with these doubleheaders, because I get it, but I don't get it. You know, a true doubleheader versus 7-inning, because
I got to get done with it.
So Ben Gamel hits a home run here. They win 3-2. Two more innings of a game. I mean, a lot can happen in those next two innings. You know,
two guys on. If he hits a home run, they'd be up 5-2. So yeah.
Oh, is it there 2 on right now? Sorry, yeah. I didn't see that. But yeah, I mean, but you see what I'm saying though. He hits a base knock somebody in, walk off style, right?
Yeah.
Game over in the seventh. That's not right.
I don't know. It's only right if the Brewers win. It would be incorrect and a violation of my God-given rights if the Cardinals did that to us. But, you know, if the Brewers did it, I think, you know, that's fair play.
I'm all in favor of every game being seven innings long, because I'm usually leaving at that point anyways. I cut off beer sales in the sixth. So
I'll stay to the end of games. I'm that kind of guy. The only other thing I guess we'll talk about, well, we can go over, I guess, what the Brewers have in front of them this week. Like we said, they'll have the two games, the Cardinals today, one more tomorrow, and two on Wednesday, and then they get to have Kansas City. So if they could have a good run with St. Louis here, they'll get a day off on Thursday and get a chance to come at the Royals and then the Reds. And again, there's the number of times I've been able to say that the Brewers have a good spot here where it's like, oh, this is where they could make some, you know, make hay, because the sun is shining. If we can just get through this little stretch here, we could end up doing all right. But it won't turn out that way. They'll get like swept by the Royals, and they'll like sweep the Cardinals. They'll take five from the Cardinals in a row. Then they'll lose all of them to the Royals. Who knows?
Oh yeah, yeah. And there's a great article I read. It wasn't today. I was too busy today, so it must have been last night. Buster Only put it out there. I always call him Only because I know it's Only, but that's so hard to say. Like, it doesn't work with my mouth. He wrote an article on ESPN about how to judge the good players versus the bad players in this weird year. And Christian Yelich was his like prime example, like of, is Christian Yelich done? Is he over because his swing is off and he looks like garbage and blah, 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 too inconsistent. Is this the player he was going to be in Florida and then evolved into this great MVP player for a couple of years and is now going to devolve? I mean, there's been other players who've been great for just a couple of years and then just went back to being average. You know, is that what it's going to be? Or is it because of the series, this season, the scenario, creatures of habit, blah, 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 blah. And maybe some of the players who are having great seasons will regress back to the mean even quicker.
Well, I think one thing, too, is because it's such a shortened season, it affects the way you're playing the game. Normally, like, you have hitting problems. You're like, I got 162 games. We'll work through it. You got 60 games. You're like, my time to get this changed and save my team is massively injured by just how short the season is. And it makes it just so you're like, well, it changes the dynamics of how you approach a problem in your hitting, and it changes the dynamics of how bad is your streak, because a bad streak is multiplied by three almost, right? Because 60 games, it's not quite three, but it's like you're at that point where you're like, yeah, instead of this being similar to, you know, a 10-game stretch where you're playing poorly, it's as if you were playing 30 bad games in a row, and it's terrible, so yeah. Or 27 bad games or whatever the actual number is. So, all right. The only other thing we can say this week is that the Big Ten is apparently voting today at some point yet, but it's kind of late in the day. We're recording. It's 10:35 right now. My guess is they're not voting today on anything, but they're still talking about voting for an October 17th start date for football. I don't know how I feel about any of it. Aaron, you had a great point about, you know, there's no place these players are going to be more looked at, more provided for, and under better medical care than, you know, being under the eyes of their coaches with the medical staff at a Big Ten university and all that. That also being said, the Big Ten university itself didn't do particularly well this week as they sent everybody home from classes and quarantined two dorms.
They apparently sent them to Whitewater. That's
That's fair then.
Because UW-Whitewater is definitely leading the charge on this one.
So we'll see, yeah.
You know, here's the thing with these Big Ten, you know, it's people. So like a lot of leadership, you know, what do you do if there's an obvious problem in the room? A lot of the times you just ignore it long enough and it'll go away. This is not going to go away. Yeah. This is going to, with every week that goes by and the SEC plays, the ACC plays, the Army, West Point, their SID, Sports Information Director, put out a tweet today, and I'm going to paraphrase, but it was basically, hey, East Coast military looking for, East Coast COVID-free military school looking for a date next Saturday, also must be COVID-free, want to meet up, play some games, whatever, call me at whatever. It was like a singles ad, right? Like okay. Putting out because right now, Baylor, it was today, Baylor and Houston were trying to put a game together on Saturday because their games were both canceled on Saturday. So there's teams on the fly filling in gaps. So you got all that going on.
Yeah. And that is the thing. The ACC and the Big 12 have already had to postpone games at this point too.
Right. But I'm just saying as these weeks go by and other teams are playing, the Big Ten, the commissioners, the presidents, whoever else, the coaches are barking about it. The players are barking about it. As other teams are playing games, it's going to be, even if games are suspended and stuff like that, it's like, hey, they're trying, you know, and it doesn't matter, John, what you're going to say about this, that, or the next thing about heart conditions with Marty, you know what I'm trying to say? I can't say that word.
Myocarditis.
I can't say it. Yeah. Sorry, it falls into my speech pattern that I can't say.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But it's whatever they do, they're not going to get away from it. They're going to have to do something because you know what the problem is? Because just saying, no, we're going to have spring football.
Well, they're not.
That is the lamest, just non-answer ever. And
they're not going to.
Barrero put it out there. He's like, they've owned none of their answers. I mean, they haven't. They've just kind of went, oh, whatever, you know, just they're kind of treating it like that. Hey, it'll just go away. It's not going to go away. They have to do something about it. They have to cancel it. Don't give it. We're going to play spring ball because you're not going to play spring ball.
No, of course not. It's a terrible idea.
Cancel it or play it in season. You know, one of the two, stop. There's other words. And that's the thing. And it's just, and now other things coming up with lawsuits and this, that, and the next thing. It's like, who's going to sue them worse?
Well, none of those lawsuits have any particular value. Just none of them do. Right. So
I know. I'm just saying it's all PR. I'm looking at it from a PR standpoint, from a very superficial standpoint. It's like, it looks bad. You know, what's going to make the Big Ten look worse in the end? So.
Yeah, I think it's just going to be tough with a new commissioner to try to come in and make big stands and then stick to them. I think he's going to cave into pressure. And I think that I think enough of the universities are going to go this time that they'll move. I think that they really want to be unanimous because they've been talking a lot in the last day or so here that we're either all going forward or not or whatever. So I think they might just be having the longest meeting they can because they definitely are voting to play, but they want it to be unanimous and they want to find out how they do that.
The thing is the team that's digging their heels in is Rutgers, the one that's just there for the New York market. Otherwise we wouldn't care if they were in the,
well, they're the one that had the biggest outbreak too.
Right. You know, no, I'm just saying that's the team with their heels dug in. And that's the one that's going to make it non-unanimous is the team that most of us as football fans, strictly football fans, could give two poops about them even being in the conference and have often wondered why they're in the conference, except for the New York market. That's it. They're just in
New York. We didn't want to add in terrible academic schools. We wanted them to meet certain academic standards, which Rutgers is a good school. it's a good school to go to if you're actually looking.
Should have went for Brown.
What's that?
Should have went for Brown.
All right.
Anyhow, you can't pay that much. Come on, Columbia. Does Columbia have a team?
Yes. Yeah, the Lions. Anyhow, though,
go get Columbia.
Nah. All right. Thank you again for joining us, everybody. All our fans all across America and around the world. Thank you for listening to us again. West Point. Jeez.
they'll click their rings on the footballs on the sidelines.
Ring knockers. Thank you again. Please remember to download, listen, rate, and review us wherever it is that you find our podcast. And remember, of course, that whether you are on the town or on the go or safe at home, it is always on Wisconsin.
Go Pack, go. I mean, they could get Harvard.
This has been the Scotty Johnny Podcast. Remember to find the boys on Twitter at ScottyJohnny1 or online at ScottyJohnny.com. Thanks for listening, and on Wisconsin.